we ended up last time, we were in verse 18, chapter 5 of Galatians. I still get this. People have asked me, since I've been pastor here, people have asked me in one way or another, what about the law in our lives? Should I keep the Sabbath? Should I eat kosher? What about this and what about that? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Last week I made a little sing-song, like skipping rope type of, if you're not under the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know a better way to say it. What's the question anymore? I mean, it just evaporated, right? What should I do in light of the fact that, well, you should be led by the Spirit. And he's going to tell you what to do. In every instance? Yeah, in every instance. Now, the rest of the chapter, look at verse 19. He's going to compare the works of the law and the fruit of the Spirit. And I can't develop this like I'd like to the nth degree, because I think I'm going to lose the forest for the trees. You know, we could talk and we can talk about, and I'm going to just define these works of the flesh, and I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, some people take the fruit of the Spirit and they would talk about love, and they would have like Love Sunday, and they would go through and I think there's a value in that. I think it's a good. That's a good thing. I'm not against that any way, shape, or form. But the only problem is you kind of lose the flow of what he's saying. He's taking, this is the works of the flesh. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Would you like to operate from list A, or would you like to operate from list B? Now, the Judaizers who are coming to town and saying, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's cool. Yeah, you should believe in Jesus, but Moses, oh, you got to do Moses. You got to do the Mosaic law. And he's saying, well, look at their lives, works of the flesh, and look at my life, fruit of the Spirit, and you decide. You're saying, is that what he's saying? I believe that's entirely what he's saying. Now, the works of the flesh, and look at, we're talking about works, and we're talking about fruit. Think about fruit. I love fruit. I don't know about you guys. Fruit doesn't strive to be fruit. It just, all it does is hangs out literally in the tree. You hang out with Jesus, this is going to be fruit. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. Do you strive? Does fruit strive? Does the apple tree sit there and apple, 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 and just, you know, no, it just produces fruit. And the fruit just kind of hangs there and looks good, and it's a benefit, it is delicious, and it is good for you. That's fruit. The works of the flesh, this is a nasty fountain that I don't want to drink of. But we all have. Now let's talk about it. Let's go over it, because he's saying now the works of the flesh are manifest, obvious. Listen, it's obvious. It's obvious to us. And if you're honest with yourself, it's obvious to you. Gee, I wonder, I'm committing adultery. I wonder if I'm being Spirit-led. Now people will, and they have, involve themselves with sin. And then they try to drag the Spirit of God into their train wreck. Yeah, well, okay, you know, it's because my wife doesn't understand me, and the Spirit led me to this wonderful, caring person who... That is so evil. Okay, you want to involve yourself with sin. That's bad enough. Do not drag the Spirit of God into your dreck, your drama, your train wreck, and try to make it some sort of holy... It's not. And it's obvious. It's obvious to everybody. And it really, at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, it's obvious to you as well. This is what the works of the flesh look like. And it's obvious. They're there. They're these. Well, let's take it like section at a time. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. I'll call this sexual works of the flesh. Okay? These all have to do with sexual. You know what adultery is. It's having sex with somebody who you're not married to. Extramarital, or you're single having sex with a married person. It's called adultery. It's wrong. It's evil. And it's obvious that it's evil. Are there any exceptions to the rule? Now, please don't come up later on and tell me, but. Well, yeah, but. Listen, sheep follow the Lord. They hear his voice and they follow him. Goats, but. Listen, goat boy. Listen, goat girl. And I'm not even saying that you're actually that, but I have this. You know, people try to tell me, okay, yeah, I know that's wrong, but. No, you're not the exception. You're absolutely positively not the exception. Adultery is wrong. We're not going to vote on it. It's just wrong. That's all there is to it. It's ripping marriages apart. Now, when I get to this, I want to show you the end from the beginning. I'm not going to pull any surprises on you. The end of verse 21, I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're an adulterer, you're going to hell. Say, what makes you say that? This book. Weren't you paying attention? Were you napping? Did you space? Yeah, the people who practice these things, they say, oh, Adam, I'm very, all of a sudden I'm very, very distressed because I've committed adultery in my past. We're not talking about that. It's saying people who do these things, and the word is practice. Present tense, you're doing, you're involved in this unapologetically. You're practicing these things, trying to get good at them. You're not going to heaven. I want you to understand that. Adulterers do not go to heaven. Well, I had a early on in my Christian life or my life or my I made a mistake and I feel really lousy about it and every day of my life I change it if I couldn't. Whoa. We're not talking about you in this situation. He's not talking about. Listen, you got to know something about our God. He's merciful. He forgives sins. He can restore. He redeems. I'm not trying to get you. I'm just saying, if this is what your life looks like, if your life is characterized by these things, if you're practicing these things, you're not going to heaven. Just in case you're wondering, adultery, fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, before marriage, whatever. The word is porneia. I wonder what that means. You know what porneia means. It's porn, any kind, okay? Uncleanness is like, we have like people, they're dating and they're maintaining purity. You're saying, really? Yeah, we expect it. We absolutely do. No apologies. Adam, you know how, like you sound like this like really old, like, you know, 1847 guy. I don't care. We absolutely positively expect purity. The opposite of that is uncleanness. Adam, everyone is kind of, you know, trying out the automobile before we buy the car. We're not buying cars. We're trying to have a relationship that's going to last forever, and we're trying to do it God's way. And there's no room for it whatsoever. It's just wrong. That's all it is. Now listen, I'm not trying to condemn, because like you say, well, you know, we didn't do things exactly right and stuff like that, but then we got saved and now I feel kind of lousy about it and stuff like that. Yeah, natch. And by the way, so much has to do with when you got saved in the process. This list is me before Christ. I don't think there's a thing on it. Witchcraft is kind of iffy. Other than that, it's like, this is my resume. This is what I came to Christ with. I'm not talking about, you know, you being saved and you living outside of Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I'm Mr. Spirit-filled. What does your life look like? Well, it looks like adultery. It looks like, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I don't know about lasciviousness. I'm not sure I do that one because I don't even know what it means. I'll tell you in a second. But if this is your life, guess what? You're not being Spirit-led. You're not being Spirit-filled. You're not living a godly life. You're not. You can't call yourself a Christian. You're being operating in and moving in the works of the flesh. By the way, lasciviousness. It's also licentiousness. You say, well, that didn't help at all. It's you're just like you're just sex sin guy. You're ready to, in a moment's notice, to involve yourself in sex sin. Your thought life is right in the gutter. Every member of the opposite sex is a potential target. You think in those terms all the time. That's lascivious. That's wrong. We have to provide an atmosphere where of brothers and sisters. You don't think about your flesh and blood sisters that way, do you, man? That would you say? No, that's nasty. I never, ever, ever thought like that. Good. These are your sisters in Christ. That's off limits. That is so wrong on so many levels. I can't even tell you how wrong it is. Now, those are the sex sins. Next is religious sins, idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry, you know what idolatry is. Who's the most important entity in this whole universe to you? It's Jesus Christ. You say, my kids are, you're an idol worshiper. Well, my spouse is, you're an idol worshiper. Well, I've got this other God over here. You're an idol worshiper. That's all there is to it. I don't know how else to say it. I am just absolutely incredibly in love with my wife. Second to Jesus. She knows it. He knows it. And whenever I get those two confused, I got to repent. And Jesus is my all in all. He fills all my needs. She can't be. I mean, but look, you know, we have it, and it's usually in the opposite direction. We have women who are like, are so like needy, and they look to the husband to provide all the stuff that only Jesus Christ can provide. If you got it going on with God, like you should, in that vertical relationship, guess what? Your husband could just be your husband. He's probably a pretty decent guy. He's probably a halfway decent husband, but he can't be God to you. Now, if you let God be God to you and let your husband be your husband, everything's going to work out fine. Now, he's just like, he's almost like, whew, I can do husband. I can't do God. But it's idolatry. Jesus Christ, our God, the God of gods, the creator of the universe, is preeminent. He's the one we worship, we adore, we bow down to, we serve, we fellowship with. Him and him alone. Anything else is more important. It's just an idolater. Now, witchcraft, you say, okay, I'm cool here. Maybe, maybe not. The word is pharmakia. Most of us get involved in the dark side. We don't just put a pentagram in our living room floor, sit in the middle of it, and light candles, and you know, pray to get demon-possessed. Most of us enter in here in drugs, illicit drug use. That's the word. Off limits is wrong. It's just wrong. So people have, you know, this mind-altering drug experience, and they have this vision or something, or things of this nature. Now, I was at the poll the other day, Tuesday. You guys vote? Not very well. There wasn't much of us. That's my personal opinion. But a story for another time. We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about church and state. We'll talk about that tonight, okay? I'm going to table that for now. Here's the thing. I was at the voting booth, and there was somebody collecting signatures for marijuana. Well, we got medical marijuana in the state. Not medical. Recreational. I, you know, can I think about medical marijuana? I said before, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. You know, God made marijuana. It might have a medicinal value. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. Why am I opposed to medical marijuana? Because it always leads to this. That's the whole problem. Did I sign a petition? I did not sign a petition because I was witchcraft. It's pharmakia. It's off limits. I just, you know, I'm just going to smoke dope because I think it's natural. And by the way, don't come here with that argument. Don't be the butt guy, butt later on. It's natural. Yeah, so's plutonium. So's lead. Shoot somebody. So's mercury. What is natural? How come that's an argument? Everything that you see is natural. I mean, to get unnatural, you have to go in a different dimension or something to get it. I mean, nature isn't the reason I do or don't do anything. These are all natural, these things here. To act like an alley cat is natural, okay? To be holy and separate only for your spouse's use, that's a supernatural thing. That's living on a different plane. So natural doesn't cut it with me. Idolatry, witchcraft. Now we get into, we call these social sins, okay? This, we don't play well with others, okay? Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, and we'll end there because there's another list after that. Okay, now, this is where the King James does not shine. I love King James all the time. Hatred is hatred, we get it. Our life, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Our lives are characterized by love. Now, variance is contentions, okay? That's what the Judaizers bought, contention. They were contentious over everything. Emulations. You guys have been doing emulations this week. Don't do emulations. That's bad. Jealousies. You got a newer version, NIV, a New American Standard, English Standard Version, or your NIV positive or something like that. And by the way, I have no problem with any other. You bring whatever. That's fine. King James wasn't written by the Apostle Paul. It was translated English. It has great, wonderful things that I really like about it, and there's some things that are just, I wish, you know, they didn't write words like emulations. We don't use words like emulations. We use jealousies. Don't be jealous. That's so fleshly. Wrath is wrath, like you'd think about it, but it's the guy with the short fuse. We're all walking on eggshells because you're going to blow up like you always do. That's not That's the Spirit of God doesn't lead to blow up, short fuse. I have a real, I got this temper that I, you know, because I'm, you know, half Irish, and my mom's got that fiery red hair and that disposition. She could go off on a second, and I just inherited that from her. Yeah, maybe. I don't even know, but the Spirit of God's come take over my life. You guys ever see me red-faced with rage, out of control, yelling like a crazy man? You guys ever see that? Jesus. Thank Jesus. Has I ever been that guy? Don't ask Suze, okay? Because she might tell you. I don't put me in an embarrassing light. Strife is strife. It's selfish ambition. And this isn't the Judaizers are selfish. They're trying to get, well, they're trying to get seditions and heresies. What's seditions? Dissensions. Hey, come join my group. Dissent from the others. We got a small group inside the church, and it's a pus pocket. Adam, I thought you liked small groups. I like small groups that are pro-church. I don't like small groups that, you know, cling themselves, and then there's an us and a them mentality, and they're seditious. They're trying to like, okay, when are we going to overthrow the government that is and take seize power and stuff? No. That's Judaizer. That's fleshly. That's the fact where people are meeting in small groups in this church, and they're getting together, and they're praying, and they're reading the Bible. Praise God. You know what my problem is with that? Nothing. I hope everybody's involved in something like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about seditions. We're talking about, and then what it always leads to, always heresies. Heresies, heresy, bad teaching. Me and Suze were talking about this on the way out to dinner last night. Yes, we ate it at Chibon. Ah, comfort food. So good. So good. And we're talking about this. We're talking about, can you think wrong and live right? Never. Only in every situation. So these guys are coming saying, you know, you're going to keep Mosaic law. This is what's really going to save you. And if you're saved and you're keeping Mosaic law, then you're really in with God. What does that lead to? Like all religion, pride. Can you be proud and live right? No. You are slow freight. Satan is going to work you like Jesse James. He is going to, he's going to be on you like white on rice. The pride is the hook in which he can work in your life to do his nasty, nefarious deeds. Pride is, that's the opposite of humility. It's not a, and so you got this sedition, then there's heresy. It's bad doctrine. Always follow, is wrong thinking, always involves self with bad living. Envyings. Now you say we already had jealousy. This envying is just a little bit different. It means this. I don't even want it, but I'm just mad that you got it. You buy this new cabriolet. I wouldn't be caught dead riding in one, but I just hate the fact that you got a new car. I mean, I don't even want that job that you got the promotion in the race. I wasn't even up for it. I don't care. I just don't want you to have it. You're saying, who lives like that? A lot of people. It's an act of the flesh. I don't want to see you get ahead. I don't want to see you better yourself at all. How come it wasn't me? Oh, poor me. And this is what this word means, okay? Envyings. Murders is murders. Any questions? I mean, you know, we all know what that is. Now, the other one, I would call them social sins. We involve others in our sins. Drunkenness and revelings. Notice drunkenness, this isn't a list of sicknesses. Just in case you wonder, this is acts of the flesh. Drunkenness. Oh, so I get together, we party, and we all get drunk and have a good old time and praise the god Bacchus and this bacchanalia. It's not what Christians do. Drunkenness is all Old Testament, New Testament. It's out of bounds. It's wrong. Now I'm not going to get a diatribe anti-alcohol. You know how I feel personally. We don't have any rules here in church like you can't drink. I would say zero is a good number. It's what I do. I'm trying to set an example. But you say, well, I have a beer now and then, I have a glass of wine, or drunk out of bounds, right? We get that. We're all agreement on that. And the other one is revelings, partying. You know, we get together. It's wild. It's raucous. It leads to debauchery and all kinds of lasciviousness and the like. Now, I'm telling you, and such like means this. This is very, very important. This is not an exhaustive list. You can sin in many, many more ways than this. There's one New Testament list that gives us, they're talking about people who are like really bad people, and they're talking about inventors of evil. If people are inventing evil, we can't ever make a list to get our arms around, because you'll invent something to do wrong when new technology is available and new situations arise, you'll find a way to mess it up. And so there's no such thing as an exhaustive list of evil. And he says, and such like. Now, having said that, is the fruit of the Spirit an exhaustive list? Yeah, that's subject to debate, but I would say no. It's not. Is wisdom on the list? Is wisdom a fruit of the Spirit? I would think so. I would think you being, put the Word of God into your life and then know how to apply it to every situation or to situations. I think that's very Spirit-led. I think that's a gift. I think that's very fruitful, okay? Now, I'm telling you, I've told you this before, I'm telling you again, the people who practice these things, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not saying it with glee. I'm not saying it with anger. I'm just communicating. You know, Adam, I'm kind of really concerned. This I read this list, and like when you're talking about it, this looks like my life. Well, you know what you want to do in that situation? Why don't you get up here and pray? When we're all done here, we'll settle this thing. You know what the good thing about, if there's a good thing about sin, we can repent from it. Bada bing. Cleansed. Free from, I did, and now this situation in my life, sometimes I still have to, and I keep very short accounts. I don't mount this platform with known sin in my life. Wouldn't do it. I just feel like he would strike me dead. I mean, serious. I live in such and such a life. He can come back right today, and I'm like good with that. I don't have to wait for my wife's black eye to heal, or you know, I gotta go home and pour all my gin down the toilet, or get rid of the drugs in my house. There's nothing like that. I gotta hide all the porn in my house before he comes. No. I want to live in such and such a way. Jesus, come back now. I am totally good with that. I'm totally ready for you to come back. There's no shame. There's no like, oh, wait, no, let me do this first. I want to live in such a way that I know, that I know, that I know. It's not that I earn my eternity with Jesus. We know that. That's what the whole book's been about so far. But I'm going to heaven when I die, and I live a certain way. And it's not in this selfish, wrong way of thinking, wrong way of living. Now, in contrast to that, and we're contrasting that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit, love. Well, work of the flesh is hatred. Now, you see, I want to show you something too. Neither one of the lists are exhaustive. And sometimes as a Christian, you'll find yourself in that other list. Sometimes. You're not practicing that. When you find yourself there, you repent and you turn and you pray for forgiveness and you try to eradicate those things from your life. But when you look at this list here, fruit of the Spirit, you say, well, as an unbeliever, can't you be there at all? Well, yeah, no. I think, look, even atheists love their children. Can you be atheist with a happy marriage? I think so. I think you can have love. But here's what I'm saying. Because I talk to people and I say, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And they'll say, I'm a very loving person. I say, well, who do you love? And they'll say, well, my spouse, my kids. I love my mom and my dad. I love my brothers and my sisters. I love all my friends. I'm like, big whoop, everyone does that. I used to not like Jesus at all. I didn't follow him, I didn't worship him, and I still love my mom. You got that right? You know what I mean? That doesn't make you super special or anything. That's just, but the love that we're talking about here, and I can preach about love like a month of Sundays or more. I mean, we can all, and I can look at all the verses, but look at, what we're talking about here is, you know, so someone comes to Jesus, okay, big number one commandment, what is it? Love God, the whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We knew that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he's seeking to justify himself, and he says this to Jesus. Who's my neighbor? Jesus says, waiting for that question. So a certain man, and he still tells him the story of the Good Samaritan, right? This is how you're supposed to love. Now, you got to remember, too, they thought Samaritans were contemptible. You would hear it and you would say a certain atheist, certain American Civil Liberties Union lawyer saw this guy all broken And he took him to the inn, took him to the hospital. Here's my credit card. Just when you max it out, use this credit card. I'll come back, I'll pay. Just make sure this guy gets all the... Jesus says, okay, who's the one who showed love to his neighbor? It's an obvious story. That's the kind of love Jesus is saying. Listen, no greater love than you lay down your life for your friends, Jesus said. You're my friends, he went on to say. Well, what does your love look like? I mean, yeah, you love your mom. If I ask for show of hands, who hates their mom? If you do, I don't think you're going to raise your hand anyway. I mean, yeah, we all love our mom. I mean, come on. But you got the kind of love that's like supernatural, that's love that's puts you out of place, that you reaching out of pocket to help out a total stranger? Because that's what he's talking about. Are you laying down your life for others? I guess that's what we're going for here. You say, Adam, I don't want to brag or anything, but I actually see this in my life a little bit. Praise God. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, I wasn't very loving. Before I was a Christian, I would tell you to go to hell, and I would mean it. God, forgive me. Now, as someone who loves and follows Jesus, there's nobody I know who I want to go to hell. Isn't that what happened to you, Adam? The Holy Spirit of God happened to me. He's like, you know, you know how you're doing, you're like driving along and somebody does something. The Darwin fish yesterday at coming out of Shaw's in Bangor, guy had a little Darwin fish. I'm like, what is up with that? Why don't you just slap me? You know, are you trying? And then like the Spirit of God was there, like he is. Hey, Pastor Adam, pray for him. Oh, duh. Lord, that guy, he's confused. Show him the light. Is that not more loving than, you know, boy, I'd like to get him and I'd like to slap him until he smartens up. You know what I mean? So, with that when you start thinking like in those terms, that's the Spirit of God. Listen, can I just tell you, as the Spirit of God, I'm not that loving. Just truth in church, right? I would guess neither are you outside the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Not happy-go-lucky. This joy is a wonderful thing, doesn't depend on circumstances at all. Boy, when I win the lottery and my ship comes in and my... No, the ship ain't even been sent out. It's not at the docks, you're at the airport. It don't matter. It's just joy. I don't care what's happening to me. I have the joy of the Lord all the time. And whatever creepy circumstances I might be going through right now, I'm going to heaven. This is so temporary. This is not the final reality. We live like we're going to live forever. Listen, you're going to be in heaven a long time. 100 years from today, the only thing that matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that's going to survive this world. And all these things like that we think are so important, so incredible, that's just going to melt. It's all earmarked for destruction. Did you read the book? Fervent heat, great noise. Poof, it's all gone. Live like God exists and that he matters, and we're going to a place and we're going to be with him forever. It gives me great joy. Peace. Peace is... We have peace in the world, right? Well, we don't. It's that glorious, brief second where everyone stops to reload. Have you watched the news? It's horrible. So we get a guy in a broker peace between these two factions, and they sign a paper, a treaty, and then we give him $1 million Nobel Peace Prize. When they start warring again, not if, when, he should give the money back, by the way. That's peace. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about serenity no matter what a situation is. People can have peace with God in jail. You can go to the cross in peace. You can be beheaded in peace. You can, no matter what's going on, what crazy thing the government's involved in, we have serenity with God. We're at one with God. We have peace. We can navigate through these situations. When sickness happens, when death happens to someone who's close to us, there's still peace. Oh, there may be a little mayhem. There may be moments of just craziness, like where you say things and you, these these toxins got to come out. I get that. Yeah, I've been with some sweet, wonderful people right when they lost somebody. Don't record what they're saying. Don't even respond to it. That's just toxins. And then they settle down and they have that peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that rules in our life. It's like an umpire, you know, because we're trying to make a decision, me and a wife, about something, and I'll say, what about this one? She goes, you know, her and the Lord have something cooking. She'll say, you know, I just don't have a peace about it. And I'm like, okay, let's back away. Just back away slowly. She don't have peace about it. Well, I don't want to get involved. Because it's like, if it's right for us, it's not right for either one of us. That's how I feel, right? And if she don't get a peace about it, or I don't have a peace about it, we have this actual language in our relationship. I say, I can't get my arms around it. I can't get my head around it. I don't know why. I couldn't articulate this, but I just don't feel very, that sounds like the wrong move to us. I just don't have a peace about it. And we'll have to stop and reevaluate until we both feel like, yeah, I think I'm sensing that's what God wants us to do. Let the peace of God rule in your lives, we're told. Love, joy, peace, long suffering means to be able to suffer for a long time. So I don't want that. You're going to need that. Listen, this isn't heaven. It's a nasty old fallen world. You're going to need long suffering. It means patience. It means patient endurance. It means being able to hold up under really dreadful circumstances. You're going to need that? Oh, yeah. You don't need it today, you'll need it tomorrow. If your life is really, I don't know what you're talking about, Adam. Things are really rocking in my house. I get everything's going great. Well, you just wait. You're just between storms, that's all, you know. Stuff's going to happen. You're going to need long suffering. The Spirit of God's there. He knows. It's a fallen world. People are going to treat you badly for no fault of yours whatsoever. You're going to need to be able to suffer for a while. That's how it works. Gentleness is gentleness, just like you'd think, right? Kindness, gentleness, like Jesus. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is exemplified in Jesus Christ. You know that. Little kids are running up to him, sitting on his lap. And I guess you got little toddlers tugging in his beard and trying to stick their fingers up his nose like little kids will do things like that. And now, religious folk didn't like Jesus very much. Children loved him. The innocents, they understood. This man is not going to harm us whatsoever. You should have that gentleness about you. Tested on cats, okay? I'm just saying, cats know if you're like sinister or not, or you hate them, or cats always come up to me, and it's really kind of a funny thing, too. I'm a cat person. I know. He said, I'm never going to church again. I know. We always lived a place where we couldn't have dogs, and now we finally can have a dog, and we're just like cats. So I'm sitting in a chair having tea with somebody, and a cat will jump up on my lap, and a person will invariably say, that cat doesn't come to anyone. I think it's gentleness. I think this, do you sense about me and about the body of Christ that they don't mean me harm. Everything's fine. They're not going to jump down my throat and yell and holler and act like a crazy man. There's a gentleness about them. That should be evident in our lives. And by the way, are you scoring? Because you're thinking, well, I got this and I got this, not so much this. Oh, I need a lot of work on this. That's how we all do. But I'm just saying, again, just abide in Christ. These things will happen in your life. And maybe the Spirit of God will sometimes nudge you. Hey, you need to work on this. You need to work on not being this way or whatever, okay, sometimes. But usually, listen, I'm just hanging around Jesus. These things are starting to happen in my life. It started happening like 30 years ago. And the closer I get to the Lord, the more I see these things in my life. Gentleness, goodness as opposed to evil. Faith is faithfulness. No, faith is good too. It's a faith walk, but faith is faithfulness. You show up when you say you're going to show up. You do what you say you're going to do. Your word is a bond. It's sacred. You're faithful. There's things here that I don't concern myself with even a little bit, even ever, even at all. Why? Because I got people handling them, and they're faithful people. They're not going to drop the ball. I love that. We have a lot of people doing a lot of things. I never even think about it because they're faithful. You want to be that person. Meekness Again, it speaks of Jesus Christ. The only thing that Jesus ever said about himself autobiographically, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus speaking himself says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Now, some people think meekness is like weakness. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You see Jesus with a whip, and you're a huckster trying to make fleece his sheep, you will be backpedaling furiously. Jesus, not weak. Meek, strength under control. And it's got to do with humility and humble. Now, on the other side of the aisle, we had arrogance, we had pride. Be like me. I told you, I say Jewish roots movement. You know, I love it when they tell us about Torah and they tell us about the feasts and all this stuff. And I think, tell me that stuff. That's so. And then they all, at the end of it, do Torah, do Torah, do Torah. Do, you know, keep the festivals, keep the new moons, do Shabbat, like me. Like I'm doing it. Ain't I awesome? They don't say that, but that's what's always implied. I hate that. You know, if I say be like me, I would say something. It's very humble, be like me. Because I am very aware of my sin, my failings, my foibles, my quirks, the whole gamut. I know it all. I'm saying be like me. I'm saying follow me like I follow Christ. I'm not saying ain't I wonderful. But at the end of the day, I say I follow Christ. And you should follow Christ as well. If you want to follow me, I'm going to Christ. We're all going to get there. And when I deviate from the path, feel free to not follow me there. It's a very humbling thing. Jesus is meek and temperance, as opposed to drunkenness. We used to have temperance leagues. It just means self-control. I can't stop. Stop it. Stop that. You know, that gets me crazy, mad. I mean, really, I can't stop cheating on my spouse. Yeah, you can, you pig. What is your problem? The Spirit of God, don't tell me that. Listen, I came like everyone else came, a sinner saved by grace. Lord, save me. He said, yeah. And then, so the Spirit of God comes in my life and he gives me power over sin. I don't have to live victimized by sin. And if somebody tells me that, what you're doing is you're impinging on the Spirit of God in your life. You're saying, I don't have strength to do this. Jesus, at the end of the day, is not enough to deliver me from sin. I'm saying, no, that's exactly wrong. That's entirely wrong. I can't stop drinking. In the power of your own flesh, you can't. But I was a drinker. I drank heavy. I was in the Marine Corps. If I wasn't like in doing something like at the squadron working, I was just drinking for years. And then I got saved and I stopped. Why? Because I'm so awesome. No, because the Spirit of God gives you temperance, gives you the self-control. If you're out of control in sin, that's a clear warning sign to you. Am I really saved? Am I really born again? Am I really going to heaven? Is the Spirit of God really inside of me? Because I'm guessing, like, not so much. Because remember the list. The people who practice these things, hey, they're not inheriting the kingdom. In other words, they're not born again. They're not saved. They're not Jesus people. They're not following Jesus. You with me on that? Listen, I don't want to be harsh, but I want to be resolute in saying, delivering the mail, good or bad. This is what the Bible says, and it's good, by the way. Now, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, this is key. This is key. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You're living a crucified life. Do you remember where it says several of the Gospels, take up your cross daily and follow me? Jesus says, this is what it looks like to be my disciple. Death to flesh. Merciless. Resolute. Just flesh is bad. It's dragging me to hell. I'm dealing with it. I'm carrying my cross. And there's a carrying. There's a working out to this. You know what Jesus says? This is what I'll do. I'll save you. All your sins flushed. I will give you my righteousness. I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to help you overcome all these sins in your life. What's my part in it? Take up your cross daily and follow me. You pick up your instrument of torture to your flesh and follow me. So we have a part in it. It's not like we're just witnesses to all the things Jesus has done. We don't do anything. No, we do something. We pick up our cross daily and follow him. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We've quoted this endlessly. Oh my goodness, I knew the time was flying. I'm going to go fast and furious now. Look, I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live. What happened? Resurrection. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is operating in the Spirit or doing the works of the flesh. How do I get from one to the other? Because I see myself in here way too much. Be born again. The Spirit of God comes to live in your life. Crucify the flesh. I'm not living there anymore. I'm walking there. I'm not drinking out of that nasty polluted fountain. That's gross. It's nasty. I'm not living like that. I'm going to live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. And we make progress. We're walking. We're going somewhere. There's an end result here. There's an end game. We're going to heaven. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. And instead, do not let us be desirous of vain glory. What's desirous of vain glory? Conceited. No, humble. We humbly do this. Arrogant? I'm outlawing Facebook. Just contentions, my team, your team. You know, I'm going to post this, and everyone lines up in one camp or the other, and we're just... Because I'm right, and I want everyone else to agree with me. That's wax fruit. That ain't... It might look nice, but it's... I want to tell you something. It's not going to nourish you, and it's not going to be a benefit to anyone. Don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we're not poking each other. We're not provoking. We're not sticking our fingers in anyone else's eye. We're not trying to make our case, win our war, make our point. And the thing about what I was saying about Facebook, look, it's more important that I love you than I be right all the time. Have we ever thought of that? And I'm not even against Facebook. You guys are communicating with one another great. We have a Facebook page in a church, but I don't want to be poking. I don't want to be causing divisions and teams. And I just want to announce, hey, we got this thing going on if you want to be there. You know what I mean? I just want to like use it for a, you know, I'm not, I don't debate. I'm not striving. I'm not in the middle of a fight. I'm not trying to win disciples. I want people to follow Jesus Christ. I don't want to be desirous of vainglory. You don't want to be desirous of vainglory. You don't want to be conceited. You don't want to provoke one another. It's not going to lead to anything good. I just want to share the gospel. That leads to very good. You get saved, you go to heaven when you die. And the interim, God gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it's a sensational way to live our life. And we're free from all those things, those envyings. You want to live your life jealous of people? Who wants to do that? Listen, you bought a new car and you got the promotion and you got Reader's Digest Clearinghouse $1 million. I'm so happy for you. You're going to give a big chunk to the church, right? No, I'm joking. You know I don't even care about that at all. If you're visiting us, you know we didn't take a collection. I didn't accidentally forget. We just don't do that. God's good. And we're not trying to fleece you. We're not after your money. Isn't that the way you want? Isn't that the way you want life to be? We're not desirous of other things, people's stuff. We're not provoking one another. We're here to help, okay? We're not envying one another. Now, we're going to end there because we got through the whole chapter. Matt's going to come out of here and send us out of here in song. Can I just say to you, we're reading down this list and you're saying, you know, I'm showing up there pretty frequently with this and this and this and this. Why don't you just pray? You can come up here and pray, and we're very available for that. What will people think? Do you care on any level of your being what people think? People think, hey, that's pretty smart. They're all going up there and getting prayer. That's what they'll think. Don't worry about that. Or if you say, well, that's not how I roll. Well, in the privacy of your own heart, pray, Lord, I'm your child. I think I'm your child. I don't want to be this guy. I see this happen in my life. Will you deliver me from this? He's like, yeah. Yeah. I just got 30 years of experience talking here. This is a brother who loves you. This isn't your judge who's trying to condemn you. Yeah, he'll deliver whatever's ailing you. He He's a good, he's a gracious God. He's on your team. He wants you to prosper in this life, spiritually speaking. He wants you to overcome sin. Let's stand, let's pray. Matt will send us out here in song. Lord, if all those who named your name would operate in the power of the Spirit and be all about love and joy and peace and all these things, Lord, it'd be a no-brainer. People would flock to us because we have the obvious answers. We have the things that they're desiring. And I pray that we would pick up our cross, death to self, daily and follow you. Away with our own agendas, away with our own plans, Lord. We want to just be part of advancing your kingdom. It's getting crazy out there. I just think of it as a lot more ministry opportunities than any ever before. Help us take maximum advantage. We want to be the church, Lord, that's living, walking, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to exhibit that fruit that speaks so well of your Son, that he exemplified this fruit of the Spirit, Lord. We ask it in his holy and precious name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.